Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
What's going on, truckers? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Right now, you're hearing horns being honked on the Beltway in Washington, D.C., as videos coming across now on all the major websites, CNN, Fox News, New York Times, and NBC News, some of the top searches. If you go Google trucking news, this is what happens. You'll start, and you start seeing all this video coming across right now, and that's what we're seeing right now. Is there's some aerial footage that I'm looking at right now, and it is just massive, where there's just tons and tons of trucks. I mean, you know, they're saying hundreds. I think it's in the thousands, multiple thousands is what I see. So, and that's just something else to me. So this is Redneck and I's Radio. We're going to talk about it. You call in 516-387-1733. And we're going to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And we appreciate all their support. So when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we really do appreciate them. And just let everybody know we're going to be at the truck show. And we'll be at the booth 74108. That's the only thing we're doing at the truck show. We're going to have a booth. And we'll be talking about the protests. We were just coming. We were in Ohio, serving dinner to the drivers as they stopped for the night in up near Cambridge, Ohio. So we're hoping to Lower City is actually where we were. And we'll just be talking about that. And if you were part of that, or if you were involved in anything at all, and if you're in D.C., give us a holler, 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. And this is Redneck and I's Radio. Let's roll.
I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I can never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'ma come and make it home tonight.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way.
Hey, what's going on, truckers? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. And we're talking about this week, big thing going on right now is a trucker protest. It's the People's Convoy. And it is massive, cars and trucks alike. Not just trucks, but it's cars. We were up there in Cambridge, Ohio. Lower City, Ohio is where we were, at the old Shenandoah truck stop, where it was a lot of property up there, and trucks just pulled in, cars pulled in, everybody was there, and it was just massive. I'm telling you, one local news report said it was like 170 trucks. It should have been more like 300 trucks. There was a lot of trucks there. Bobtails, full combinations, trucks and trailers. There were cars as well, and pickup trucks pulling trailers, RVs and everything. There were tour buses, all kinds of stuff showing up there. And, of course, we showed up there with a Redneckanized trailer. We were pulling with Sloppy Joes and Chili Dogs, and that was a big success. And then the massive thing that I was impressed with was just all of these others showing up just throughout the day, throughout the night, with just donations. Donations of supplies and food and just extra stuff, you know. Mothers and daughters bringing in, like, you know, sack lunches or homemade cookies. And then other, like, stores or facilities like warehouses bringing supplies like coats and backpacks and, you know, toiletries, those kind of things, odds and ends, where, you know, they know that what these drivers were doing is these drivers weren't, you know, they were doing the convoy. So they didn't really – all they were doing was getting fuel during the day. If they had time to get in there and get shopped and stop for, you know, something to eat or whatever, it was very limited because they were in the convoy, and the convoy didn't stop. You kept on rolling all day, all night. Well, not all night, but all day until you got to where you're going to stop. Well, the drivers needed supplies so they could get whatever they needed. They can get facilities where they can get a shower, or they can do something where they can get supplies and clothes, clean clothes. You know, extra things like, you know, the big thing that truckers like to have is cleaning supplies and stuff like that. And of course, food, snacks, whatever you want. I mean, there was like you could get actual food, you know, where they were like box meals, those meals that you can get in the box, canned stuff like canned fruit, canned vegetables, tuna, chicken, everything in a can, you know, where the would keep and everything like that. And it was just massive, just totally just more than the drivers needed. There was abundantly. Nobody went hungry. And, of course, we served chili dogs and Sloppy Joes with chips and sodas and everything. And it was 30 degrees out there. And, you know, we were out there just having a great time playing music and just having a good time with the drivers, making sure that they felt comfortable and supported and everything. So it was a great deal. So if you go on the news right now, a lot of them just talking about how Washington, D.C. was just prepping for, you know, them coming. But they're there today, and they're making laps around the beltway going around the city. And I guess it looks like what they've said in a lot of these articles is that the organizers have kept up conversations with, like, the Virginia and Maryland Highway Patrol, where they could keep track of, you know, what to do, what not to do. And I don't know, you know, it looks like it might have been convenience. There's some video where you could see the trucks. It's a four-lane highway, and the trucks are in, like, the far left lane. So there's two lanes, you know, on the right and one lane on the left. And most of the trucks that are in the actual people's convoy, they're in that third lane. And they're moving pretty good. They're not moving slow, but they're moving to where, you know, it's hard to get in between. Where if you're in that third lane, you're not going to be able to get over. You know, you're going to make sure that you identify yourself as trying to get over before they let you over, you know, and then if you're getting on, getting off, you don't want to be in that third lane at all. You just want to sit in the right two lanes. Most of the trucks that are just trying to make deliveries, they're in those right two lanes. So it seems to me that things are kind of going smoothly right now. We're thinking, from what it looks to me, that more and more trucks, as the day goes on, there's going to be more and more trucks involved in the convoy. And I'm not real sure if they're going to be able to get somewhere. There's a couple of areas that they show a video of where, you know, trucks and cars are stopped, like parked on the side. There's one area where it's like there's a three-lane highway. Trucks and trailers and cars are on the highway stopped. And then there's like three or four more rows of cars and trucks on the side of the road, like, you know, stretched out, just sitting there, sitting still. I don't know where that's at. It's some kind of aerial photo where you could see, like, you know, 100 trucks all in that area, in the one frame of the picture. So there ain't no telling what's going on with that. But it's massive. It's pretty big. And the politicians already have started to have, you know, conversations with the organizers of the People's Convoy and everything. So we see what comes up with that. We met some great people out there. Brian Brossi was one of the speakers there at the over there in Ohio, and he did a great job. And we appreciate all of his support and all his passion. And it's something else. It's just something else. It brings emotion to you when you hear those speeches and see that stuff. and definitely was something I was honored to be able to see. You know, part of history in the making is what I think. So the best part about it was is that any kind of trucking organization that you might think of that you think might support drivers, well, they weren't there. This is not about the organization that's trying to get you to back them. It's the people. It's the drivers. Those are the ones who are looking out for that and wanting to support that. So that's what it looks like to me is what's going on. It's more of a grassroots kind of thing. So really, really looking forward to seeing what all plays out with this. I really hope that the drivers, you know, they had a lot of donations and a lot of support. So there shouldn't be any kind of like, you know, depletion, because there is money being spent. That day, the morning, Friday morning, when we were there with them, that was they gather around, the drivers all gather around at one point. They have a little meeting where Brian is one of the organizers. He stands there and he gives them updates of what's going on. And it was like a fuel day, and all the drivers that were in the convoy were able to get fuel, and the organizers were able to have enough money to pay for everybody's fuel, to fuel up the trucks that were in the convoy. So that was pretty awesome when I saw that, you know, and you see it, you see them supporting it. It's not like it's not like where you see a lot of charities where they say, donate to us and we'll make sure that it goes to it. And then it doesn't, you know, it fizzles out. Right? No, this was the drivers that were participating in the convoy were definitely being taken care of. No, just no problem at all. If they needed something, you know, if they needed something to eat, if they needed, you know, some kind of supplies, clothes, you know, something, you know, they got it. And everything else, support like that, they got it. There's even mechanics. They have a meeting where there's mechanics that are traveling with them. So if there's any trucks that have any mechanical issues, they'll be able to take care of the issues. They're out there on the road, you know, where the trucks can keep moving. It's amazing. It was just amazing to me to see that. It was it's cars, trucks, pickups, vans, minivans, little cars. Even one guy from Canada came down when he had a bandit mobile. He had a 77 Trans Am, you know, looked like the old Smoking the Bandit car. And he was in the convoy just running along in it. And he was from Canada. The license plates on the car were from Canada. People had, you know, where they were having like the small straight trucks and just makeshift, like, you know, they put like campers on the back of them, or they built a tent, or they built some kind of shelter where they could stay in that while they were stopped. But then the truck kept going and it had American flags hoisted on the back of them. And one of the cool things we saw was they had like the side of the truck is all wood, right? And as people were coming by, the driver of that truck would have people autograph the wood side of the truck. And he said he was going to keep it forever and ever. You know, one woman brought a pickup truck, a Toyota pickup truck, and she had people sign that pickup truck. If you can authenticate that pickup truck was involved in the convoy for the whole thing, and you have people that were part of it, that organizers and leaders of that convoy, and they signed it, and you got pictures of them signing it and all that, and you could probably auction that pickup truck off and make a lot of money. So, you know, to support the, you know, I don't know what their goal is, but they had people doing that where they were signing it and everything. And it was amazing. It was just amazing. So, but the news, I was going to dive into that a little bit more and get y'all to see what y'all thought about it. But one of the videos that we saw is actually an older video from NBC News, where they talked about it, I guess, before, like last Thursday or last Wednesday, they were talking about it. New York Times had an article about it. They released it like 8 hours ago. Other local channels in the area are talking about it. And of course, CDL Life, you know, CDL Life just pretty much attaches stuff to it. So I'm going to go back up here. Wait a minute. Let's see. Rolls through Midwestern states. That's an old deal. But as it stands right now, you see that they're in DC and they're making their way around the loop that's going around there. New York Times. I didn't read. I just played that video. You heard the sound of that. And what I was going to do was go over that. Let's see. It says truckers protesting convoy or truckers protesting COVID mandates are amassing outside the Capitol. The convoy and its supporters could move into Washington and hold rallies. And it says this was published on March 5th, updated March 6th at 10 a.m. It says one group of truckers called the People's Convoy that left California more than a week ago made it to the East Coast and was stationed on Saturday in Hagerstown, Maryland, about 70 miles northwest of the Capitol, converging with other drivers and their supporters, opening up the possibility that the convoy could move into Washington to hold protests against pandemic restrictions in the next few days. It says it was not clear what the convoy's exact travel plans were. A Facebook post on Saturday afternoon noted that the rally would be taking place on Saturday evening in the Hagerstown Speedway, where the truckers were amassing, and several people commented that the group would be leaving on Sunday for the Capitol Beltway, a highway that surrounds Washington. It says, there were reports on Saturday of at least 1,000 trucks, recreational vehicles, and cars gathered in the racetrack. One man described himself as the lead trucker in the group, told the crowd on Friday night that he would be driving his truck into the heart of the Capitol. D.C., the government, whomever, this is a quote here. It says, D.C., the government, whomever can claim that they have all this opposition for us waiting in D.C., the man said, according to Reuters, but the flag on the back of my truck will go down to the Constitution Avenue between the White House and the Washington Monument. Now this, we saw this, it says here the flag on the back of my truck. So it's a step deck and they have this flag that was given to the driver. He wanted the owner of the flag said, take this flag downtown. And it was a World War II flag, from a tank driver. And of course it's, and he's had it all this time and you could tell it's old tattered flag. And it's one of those really nice, big, good flags that's been through it all. And you see the scars of the flag. And so that's the one. And what I'm thinking is as the organizer, and he's one of the organizers of it, and he is a lead truck. He's got a cab over Peterbilt. I do believe it's Peter. Yeah. And he's driving that truck, and that's the lead. The People's Convoy, that was the lead truck. So he was going to go down to, I think he's going to go downtown, and I think that's going to be the only truck. Like they've made a special point of that one truck to go down there. I don't think that all the trucks are going to follow that one truck down there. And it's a statement. It's basically, it's, you know, that flag is going down. Let's see here. It says Christopher Rodriguez, director of the District of Columbia Homeland Security Emergency Management Agency, said the convoy had signaled that it was planning to stay outside the city. Protesters did enter Washington. The authorities would be ready for them, he said. It says, we've been planning for this for over a month now, Mr. Rodriguez said, adding the National Guard members were stationed around the city with personnel, equipment, and heavy vehicles. It says, in the event we do see impact in the district, those personnel and equipment can help move traffic through with the support of the Metropolitan Police Department, he said. Said the People's Convoy was one of the several groups inspired by the Canadian protest against the pandemic measures that disrupted the capital of Ottawa for 3 weeks. The American group said they too would drive to D.C., Washington, to lead a nonpartisan grassroots protest of government COVID policies, but many appeared to be aligned with far-right organizations and activists. See, this? This is the stupid stuff here. Okay. I understand. We got pictures of it. We see it. Okay. It's more of a Republican thing than it is Democrat. Okay. But there is a lot of nonpartisan. Okay. But I would say, you know, it's probably about, you know, 80% Republican and 20% non-Republican. But again, it's not like far right. We're not, you know, I didn't see not one, any kind of Confederate or Nazi flag there at all, okay? And when I was looking, I mean, there were people selling flags, and the flags that they were selling, they were more conservative or, you know, right-leaning flags, where they were, don't tread on me, come and take it. What do you call, you know, all the different American flags that are like pro-Trump or anti-Biden, all that stuff. Hey, and that's just what sells, you know. So when you got things like this going on and the current president, you know, if Trump was still president and this stuff was still going on, there would be anti-Trump flags flying. Okay. Cause that's what it is. It's not about who's in charge now. It doesn't matter. Whoever's in charge now, because of the COVID policies now, that's who was going to be called out, who was going to be held accountable. Okay. I mean, even Trump, I mean, I didn't like it. I didn't like it when Trump came out there and said, well, maybe we should do something. I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. I live in Texas. Governor Abbott did the same thing. He's like, well, let's go ahead and shut down and, you know, take it easy and see what happens. And that was 3 months before he actually came around and said, okay, we can open up a little bit. You know, the only one, you know, we talked about this between Redneck and I here, the only ones that actually said, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm not really keen on shutting everything down. And that was Florida, Ron DeSantis. He was the only one that actually came out and said, I'm not for shutting everything down. I'm not doing that. You know, you can have mass policies and all that, but I'm not shutting anything down. And that was what he said, you know, on there. So yeah. But other than that, it seems like things are going on kind of smooth right now. It looks like they're making their way around the Capitol. I'm not sure if they're going to be stopping for the night or what. But yeah, they're still trying to relate this with the January 6th thing and all that. And of course, because you have, you know, Democrats in charge right now, they see it as another January 6th is what they see it as. So they got ramped up security and everything. And they're just, and that's, even Brian, the main speaker there, was it Thursday night when we got there, even he said, I don't want to go downtown because then they'll just try to paint me as another January 6th guy. And that's what he said. He said that. So yeah. All right. So we have, you know, we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling here. We're going to take a little break. We'll come right back, continue to talk about this. It's like I said, this is the main thing going on right now. So we're just going to keep talking about it as we go on down the road and keep up with everything, how everything's going. So everybody just keep on rocking and rolling here. And this is Redneck and I's Radio. And don't forget, we got to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's LTR Transportation. That's loadtoridetransportation.com. You can, or Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And this is Redneck and I's Radio. Let's keep at it. Here we go.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and I's. Redneck and I's, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. You can call in at 516-387-1733. You probably, the conversation just hit one. You know, we're talking about the People's Convoy and how everything's going on that. And don't forget, we'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app, the app for truckers. You can get download their app. Just search for it on your Play Store or App Store, wherever you get it, and it's Trucker Tools. And we appreciate all their support and everything. So we want to get back to here. Let's head to the phones and bring on our old eyeball.
No, this is the other one. This is the old reliable one.
Okay, great.
This is the missus. How about that one?
There you go. Yeah, we were.
Hey.
What?
Yeah, I know you were talking about the convoy, which is awesome, and I'm actually still in touch with a lot of them that's in it still. But I just wanted to say, the truck that you were talking about with the cab over and the step deck, that is Mike Landis. He is
right.
also one of the coordinators for the convoy, along
yes.
with Brian Brozzi.
Yes.
That flag on the back of there, that was given to them by I believe it was the woman's husband that was in World War II. And it was either the grandson or somebody handed it to him, but the grandfather husband died, and that was his flag, and this is something they said, or the family wanted it to be done because they knew this is what he would have stood for and he would have wanted.
Right.
So that flag actually was on his casket when he passed, and when Mike received it, it was actually still all folded up. So, and he is going to take it back, you know, personally hand deliver it back to them when this is all over.
Yeah, I think that's why I said I think that they probably made arrangements with authorities to allow that one truck, his one truck, to go downtown. That's what I think is what they did. You know, because he said he was going downtown, and then the next morning
mm-hmm.
Brian said, I'm not going downtown because I know what they're going to do when I go down there. They're going to try to paint me as some kind of bad guy, which, you know, I agree with him on that. So yeah, I remember Mike, you know, telling the story and everything like that and talking to him about it and everything. So yeah, it was something else. And everybody's, you know, we did Pledge of Allegiance. We did, you know, we said a prayer on the flag. Everybody was taking pictures with the flag. Everybody was standing with the flag, you know, getting their photo taken with the flag. So yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And it was something else.
Yeah. And just, they're actually, the way I understand it from the information that I've been receiving is that you can actually go and text 313131 for the People's Convoy. And they'll send you text message updates on all of the stuff that they're doing for their step-by-step of what they're doing.
I got you. So, just text, like send a text like hey or whatever to
I think it is People's Convoy 2022 is what they tell you to put in there, but it's the 313131.
Gotcha.
And it's actually, you can go right onto there, the peoplesconvoy.org, and it's on
yes.
there also, and it tells you what
yes.
to do.
Yeah, and the peoplesconvoy.org, that's a great place to get updated information, and also if you want to donate, you can donate there too. To the peoplesconvoy.org. That's the best place to get all that because it goes directly to them on that one. Just like I was talking about earlier, the truckers they got their fuels getting paid for, supplies are getting delivered. The truckers don't need nothing. They got everything taken care of on that. We saw that firsthand. The truckers, they got plenty of supplies. I don't know if you saw.
They're actually looking right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
No, I was going to say, I don't know if you saw, but I think even Taylor Barker put out that said, if anybody is in the area and need supplies, come get them.
That's what I was just getting ready to say, because they're trying to get people to come get it because they just don't have room for it.
Yeah.
And Chris Young, she posted a video on their Facebook page this morning, I believe it was, and it was her walking around at the Speedway because she's one of the ones that takes care of all their Facebook page and their social media stuff, her and a bunch of other people. But she was talking on there that – you know, just with all the stuff that they had two flatbeds packed full with stuff that people had brought in.
Yes. Yes.
So it's crazy just how much stuff has been given to these people. And plus, just like when, you know, Greg came out of the truck today when he cleaned all his bedding up so we can get it washed up, he pulled out, you know, paper bags of stuff that people come and dropped off at his truck while he was there, because even if he wasn't there, they would have set goodie bags on the steps of the trucks.
Yeah, people, like I said, people were in their own personal vehicles, and they come up in there with a load of stuff, like whether it be sandwiches or gift bags or treats or
mm-hmm.
thank you notes or whatever, and they either give it to the driver in the truck or they just leave it on the steps right there by the door.
Yeah.
And it was like every truck got something down the way. So
exactly.
Yep, it was, and like you said, we even had a big batch of thank you notes from, like, you know, elementary school kids that were writing thank you letters
mm-hmm.
and thank you pictures and cards to all the drivers, and we were passing those out. And I thought it was a one-of-a-kind thing. I was like, hey, I bet you ain't seen one of these yet. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I got one of those in Arizona and in Missouri. And I'm like, what? It's like, wow, it's just it's
they've been getting them all the way across.
Yeah, every stop they get some kind of either thank you notes or gift bags or treats and supplies, and it's like they don't need anything. That's definitely what they you know, it's big support. Not if the convoy doesn't impress you enough, it's the support on top of that. The people standing on the overpasses, the people coming by donating things, that's even more impressive than the amount of trucks and cars that are actually in the convoy.
Just in Ohio, and Ohio State Patrol are a bunch of buttheads half the time. But to watch the State Highway Patrol along the exits, and they're waving at you. They're tipping their hat to you. The Sheriff Department, all the way down 70 from the Cambridge area, all the way down to the West Virginia line, it didn't matter where at down through there. If they knew the convoy was coming through, there was people along the sides. The side, literally pulled off the side of the interstate. And they were waving their flags and waving, and, you know, it was just, I'm glad that we had the chance, even though we didn't get to go any further than what we all did, but I'm glad that we can actually say that we were there and experienced the little bit that we did get to see of it.
That's right.
Because
that's
it was just, you know, the best thing I think I could ever say, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You just can't explain it enough, and I put in for a couple of other people to give a call in tonight on the show to explain what they seen when they were doing it. A couple of them are from out west, so hopefully they do get a chance to call in. But I know they're doing actually a driver's meeting tonight, probably getting prepared for what they're doing tomorrow.
Right.
So the ones that I've talked to, you know, they might not be able to call until later. But I told them, I said, if you can't call in, I said, send us a message. I said, we'll post it on our Facebook, you know. Mm-hmm. Or I said, we can always do another, you know, next couple of days before, instead of waiting till Sunday, maybe get a short little one scheduled to go on and talk about it later this evening. Because I know one of the ladies I talked to, she was talking to one of the guys from the Disrespected Truckers, and he's also talking about the convoy on his show too. So it's like, you know, that's everybody in the trucking industry is talking about this.
Yes.
You know, yes. I even had my grandmother tell me that my cousins that live in Washington, live in D.C., my one cousin, she works for the Republican Party. She worked on Trump's campaign, and she kind of hinted, you met her, Ed, at the wedding, and so did Robbie. They, you know, she is determined to take muffins and cookies and all that stuff to the drivers, wherever they're stationed at, because she wanted to know where they were going to be at, and my grandmother's like, I don't know, and anyways, I talked to Emily and I sent her a message, and I was like, well, we're not personally going to be there, but if you decide to do this, because some of the people in the Republican Party in her office has donated money in order to for her to go get different muffins and stuff like that to take into them. And I said, you know, you could do that. I said, here's an idea also. I said, with everything going on, they're getting so many donations and so much food. And I said, these drivers are just getting overwhelmed with all the generosity from the communities that they're going through, that, you know, I said, if you're able to take that money that was donated to you to do this and just donate it into the people's convoy, I said, that would be a lot more, that would be appreciated too, due for the fact that it'll take care of the fuel in the semis and also help with the cars and that for their gas.
Yes.
And she sent me a message back a little bit ago. She's like, I can do that. She's like, we don't have a problem. Do whatever you think is best.
Yeah, because the food thing.
It's kind of awesome that you have that too.
Yeah, it's overwhelming, the food stuff. It's just not, you know, you might think that you might, if you take, like even if you take, you know, 6 or 8 dozen donuts down there, that it would be, they just, like one guy, the member of that crew that set up across from us, you know, they brought like treats. Yeah. They brought Danish and they brought different like goodies and snacks and cookies. And mm-hmm. then people just kept bringing more. And they had way too much, you know. I mean, just like us, you know, we brought chips and we brought soda. People kept dropping off chips and soda.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was something else. And I don't know exactly what all that money is going to go to. You know, I mean, I know that what it went to was fuel And of course, with probably be some type of like hotel or showers for the drivers. But it definitely went to where the drivers making sure that they got to where they were supposed to be going. You know, hopefully maybe some of the drivers, if they were in the convoy and maybe they said, you know what, I didn't work this week and I'm going to miss a truck payment, maybe they can help them out with that too. Hopefully. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. But,
yeah.
But you never know.
I don't think they've ever said what they would do with it afterwards. I can't remember ever seeing that or even hearing anything. But, you know, that's the reason they went the extra mile when they set this up. That's why it took them longer than like it did in Canada to get their set up, because they didn't want the same things to happen to them as what happened in Canada. You know, GoFundMe can be a great thing for the right people, but just like with everything with Canada, they took their money and, you know, all that good stuff. Then they started taking their trucks. But they got lawyers and accountants to take care of all of this type of stuff for them. So it's not a driver that's taking care of, you know, you send them $100, well, that driver says, well, heck, I'm going to put it to here and I'm not going to do it here. They got somebody that's taking care of that for them personally.
They do. They have a lot of people in the handling all that. Like you're saying, they got experts that actually know the law about handling that kind of stuff. So yes. And then they were talking about whether or not, you know, handling like the fuel and stuff like that. You know, you saw in Canada where they were like trying to keep people from being able to bring the park truck's fuel and all that. Well, you know, when you've got this money behind you, you can actually, you know, afford to like bring in larger, instead of just bringing in 5-gallon cans, you can bring in like a fuel truck. So, you know, it's like they definitely got it worked out. They know what they're doing now. But,
right, and that's the best thing about it, because they did get everything situated and figured out things as they went and had a lot of it taken care of prior to even going out on the road and getting started with this convoy.
Oh, yeah. They were talking to people, you know, in different cities. Even the city, even if they didn't stop in a certain city, those cities came to them, brought stuff to them. So, like I said, it was so impressive to me that how many people came by and just brought stuff. People would bring, some individual person said, I just went to the grocery store and I figured I'd, you know, bring you guys some stuff, and they just brought it. And it was just, you know, maybe it was like maybe $30 or $40 worth of groceries. And it just, it went into a big pile. Like I said, there was multiple trailers full of just groceries and supplies, mm-hmm. water, soda,
like the people that came and was talking with us that was parked there. They come from Pittsburgh, and they did donations, and they sent out 5 different U-Haul trucks, maybe not trucks, maybe just the trailers, but 5 different loads of stuff to different locations for the different portions of the convoy that was coming into it.
Yes.
You know, the one up that was further up north, one coming out of Maine and Maryland and New York and all, you know, even from down south, and they were going to them. They didn't wait till they got closer. And these are people from Pittsburgh area.
Yes.
You know, that was going and doing this.
Yes, yes, tons and tons of people. It was amazing. It was amazing. And then the best one of all, and did I even get the guy's name? I don't even know the guy's name. You know the guy's name? The guy that went out and got Amish fried pies. My goodness.
Mercy. Yeah. You know what? He told me his name, but I cannot remember it. And there was papers that they were handing out, you know, with them when people were getting them off of them, but I never even picked one up because I didn't think nothing about it. But yeah, they were freshly baked Thursday morning for them to give out to everybody.
Yep. I still got the label for the one I smuggled on the airplane, and it says Swiss made fresh handmade pastries made from scratch. And then it gives you the variety. And then it says, patriotic picnics are never complete without this traditional flavor.
And you're talking about them, and I hear this paper rumbling upstairs, and Craig's up there eating one.
It says, Swiss-made pastries, Grove Church Road, Gambler, Ohio. It's even got a phone number right there.
Yeah, see, the people that brought them aren't the ones who made them.
Right.
I think they must have went and maybe talked to them to get them donated, or maybe they purchased them That's what I just said.
And so, and then I'm reading on the back here. I didn't even realize it. So there's other flavors. So we had the apple, we had the cherry, I think, and then the red raspberry, I think, is what it was. Whichever one, it was the cream cheese.
Raspberry and cream cheese.
See, there's no cream cheese listed on here. There's no cream cheese listed on here, but there's red raspberry. But then they also have chocolate. They have grape, a grape pie. My goodness. And then lemon and peach and pineapple, and then elderberry. Elderberry is good because the elderberry, that's healthy.
Yeah, and it's a seasonal thing.
Yeah, well,
because elderberry, you know, it only comes in, you know, usually in August when it's ready to.
And in the bottom list, kind of highlighted, it says there's a pumpkin. They have a pumpkin pie seasonal.
Yeah.
Strawberry rhubarb, raisin pie. My goodness.
You'll find a lot of the different flavors like that out here.
Yeah, I guess so. In Texas here, they don't do that much. But what do you call the I'd like to have a chocolate one. That'd be awesome. That'd be really nice. And it's a glazed, you know, pastry pie. So it's not like it's dry. It's really sweet because it's got the glaze on it. And but man, I tell you what, they came by and set up right next to us, and that was a mistake, I tell you.
Well, what was even worse is when he came back the next day because he wanted to get rid of them. So he thought a perfect breakfast thing. He comes back in his pickup, and you and I are over handing out stuff and taking care of stuff over by the trailer and trying to get rid of the rest of the food that we had. And then we look over, and here's Greg down there. He says something about, I'm going to go see if I can get me some more of them pies. And he just disappears.
My goodness. It was something else, I tell you. And that's what we had to do. We had so much donated. Like there was even people that brought in, like, sandwiches that, you know, they would go bad. You know, it's not like you can just throw them in storage. So we had to get rid of them. You had to say, hey, somebody take these because somebody's got to eat them. Or they're gonna go bad. So you had to, you know, pass them out. And those we found out that not only was there was a sandwich made in there, but they also had like grapes and different like, you know, little side snacks or whatever that would go bad as well. So the good thing we went and passed those around because those wouldn't have lasted, you know, sitting in somewhere else. But I mean, somebody brings
they
in,
would not
and
have.
Stuff, you could have. You know, at least you can throw that in a trailer and take it to the next stop. But yeah. So let's. I think somebody's in the other room wants to get on the show here.
Oh no.
There he is. What's going on?
What's going on, my friend?
I went out and got some wind therapy today, and I thought of you the whole time I was doing it.
I bet you did. all I did was sit down there and look at mine today and think, boy, cuss everybody else that I seen out on there because I had too much going on.
Man.
But listen, on a lighter note, I'm not going to get on a rant tonight because what's going on is just historical.
Yes.
But with all that we did down there, you know, no more we did. We went to cooking, but, you know, I don't care how cold-hearted you can be or whatever, there ain't nothing that can bring tears to your eyes any more than a young kid down there. I mean, young kids walking around with their parents, walking up, I don't know how many little kids come up and hand you a little bag or hand you a cookie and say, thank you, truck driver, for what you guys are doing.
Exactly.
If that don't bring a tear to your eyes, you have no heart.
Hmm.
And I got two letters that they handed me that I put in the truck. And I actually, I sat there and opened them when they walked away. And the one says, driver, he said, truck driver. I said, yeah. He says, this little girl was 7 years old. She was standing right there by her mom and dad. And she says, can I get a hug?
Mm-hmm.
And I kneeled down and I said, yes, honey, you can get a hug anytime. And I gave her, you know what? I don't care. I bawled like a baby, man, because it's, you know, I've got a big heart for kids. An adult, I can stand there and tell you, you know, you can go take a pound of sand, but a kid, he can't do that. And
right.
I got the letters laying right here on the table, and I will keep them for the rest of my days.
Hmm.
You know, I will keep them for the rest of my days. The one goes to say, "Dear Trucker, my name is Tuscany. I'm 7 years old. I'm never going to get the shot. Thank you for fighting for our freedom. Love, Tuscany."
Hmm.
Now, this come from a seven-year-old girl. Now, I understand that their parents was probably behind that too, but for them to bring them kids out and explain some of this stuff to them is unreal.
Yeah.
It's just unreal, you know, that the government has used politics, you know, to hurt these kids this bad.
Right.
Another one. This was the second one. "Dear Trucker, thank you for fighting for us. I am Rivera. I am 5 years old." Now, I know he didn't write this. He signed it. You can tell he signed it. His real, he can just barely write.
Yeah.
But it says, "I'm Rivera. I am 5 years old. I, it was a girl. It says, "I am a girl. I do not like wearing masks. I cannot really breathe in them. I'm not getting the shot. I will never get the shot. Thank you for being our heroes. Love, Rivera."
There you go.
Now, how can you sit and read something like that, you know, and it's one thing to hear that. But when you're sitting there and you're looking in their eyes and they're standing there face to face with you, and it's like, you can't make this up.
Yeah, yeah.
People walking around, shaking their hands, thanking you,
mm-hmm.
you know, Carr, just the general public. I mean, it was just something. That's something you can never get out of your head. Never, you'll never forget it. You know, and it's like this government should be really, really, really proud of themselves for the dumb stuff that they have done to benefit them, just to benefit them, and that's all it did.
That's all it did. And
it's
and
funny if there was such a thing as this virus, if there was, which now more than ever, I never believed it was as bad. Anyhow, yeah, there was something going around. It was a virus. There's always been a virus going around this world. There's always a virus everywhere. There's always a virus.
Right.
They used that as politicized this to get their agenda pushed through because it's no worse than the flu or the bit. It's nothing, you know. But to shut this country down like that was just they should be. Some of them up there should be executed for what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, not just put in prison. They should be executed. There's no reason for that.
Yep. No reason at all. I agree. Yep. There was no reason to shut everything down.
I mean, there was no better feeling, man. Them guys, there's no better feeling, man. You riding across there when we was coming across there the other day in that convoy. People
mm-hmm.
on the bridges, standing on the shoulders, out in fields.
Yeah.
You know, with flags in the back of pickup trucks. I've seen them standing on top of their cars waving flags. Brand
yeah.
new cars. They're up on the hoods and the roofs of brand new cars waving flags. And I'm thinking, really? You know, and then you got some of these idiotic truck drivers that want to sit there and bitch and bellyache because we're holding them up because they're out there trying to make a living and this convoy is holding them up from providing for their family.
Yeah.
You know what? Now, like I said, I'm not getting on a rant, but them guys right there, all I can say is kiss my ass. You know,
well,
if your life don't mean no more than that, if that's all that you care about in life is yourself and nobody else, you get exactly what you deserve.
Yeah.
If you want to work, you go ahead and work. Go ahead, work. I'm not saying don't work. Work. If you feel you have to work, work. We're not holding that against you. But if you get held up because of this, there's plenty of free roads. You can get off that interstate. If you're a real truck driver, you can get off that interstate. There's plenty of roads, two-lane roads and everything. You can get off and get away from it. You can run anywhere you want to. But don't expect the rest of the world to just stop and let you over, you know, let you go on about your miserable life.
Right. Well, I think a lot of them have just think about, you know, like you're saying, you know, that all they care about is making their money or whatever like that. But the thing of it is, though, is that, you know, why weren't they freaking out about making a living when the whole economy was shut down a year and a half ago? You know, they weren't worried
exactly.
about then. You know,
exactly.
Nobody was crying then. So yeah, you're right. And also too, when you talk about people sitting on the side of the road and the bridges and waving and everything like that, I tell you what, all of the media footage that I've seen on NBC and even Fox and CNN and all that, it doesn't do it justice. That what they show doesn't even look exact. What we saw was bridges full of people. It was that not only were the bridges full of people, but every time you saw a bridge, like where the highway went under the bridge, and then you've got like a big grassy hill on the side of the road right there before you get to the bridge, that was full.
Loaded
with people. You know, just and their cars and their pickup trucks were up out there in the grass on the side of the road.
Yeah. You know, and as we was talking the other day, all of us, you know, that was there and everything, I mean, it's been an ongoing thing since the beginning of time that truck drivers and law enforcement do not get along. They never have. They never will.
Right, right.
But during this, there is no better sight, and nothing any make you any happier than to see, when you go under them bridges, to see the sheriffs and up there, what the sheriffs, you know, these county sheriffs standing on these bridges with these people. And when you get ready to go under that bridge and everybody's blowing horns and waving their flags and stuff on the bridges, and you're going under that bridge and you see a county sheriff standing up there with them people by his car, waving his hat at you, man, just waving and waving his hat. State troopers sitting in the middle when you go by, sitting in every crossover just about, watching the convoy go through, watching the safety of everything. But he's standing there waving, giving you the thumbs up and pumping his arm for you to blow the horn. When in the hell have you ever seen that out of law enforcement? Where? When have you ever seen truck drivers and law enforcement get along that good? I don't know how many of my past that I've seen doing that. Give them the thumbs up, wave at them the same way, you know, and just look at them and wave out. Stick your arm out the window, wave at them. I don't care. It was cold. I didn't give a damn. I had the window down. You know, them people are it was unbelievable. You can't describe it. You had to be there. You just had to be there to get the full gist of it all. Oh, man.
Man.
It was epic.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, if the amount of trucks and the amount of people that were, you know, like I said, the amount of trucks and cars and pickup trucks and all that, if that doesn't impress you, the people waving and cheering on and on the side of the road or on the bridges, if that didn't impress you, and then you had people bringing supplies from all over different parts of the country, every stop had the cities, like different cities, like we were over there in eastern Ohio, so Pittsburgh delivered stuff, Cleveland delivered stuff. You know, different cities brought to the actual stop where they were. If that didn't impress you, like you said before, school age kids were coming by with the thank you notes and they were over there cheering along and, you know, talking to the truckers and thanking the truckers. I mean, come on, just it'll impress the hell out of you one way or the other. It had to be. Definitely would do it. It was just massive impression. I was just overcome with just being impressed and, you know, joy of thank God I'm American. That's all I could tell you.
Yeah. Well, just like these truck drivers. I mean, them little kids walking around out there, a lot of them horns we heard blowing and stuff the other night, good mom. You know, everybody thought it was the drivers acting a fool up in there. No, it wasn't. I tell you exactly what it was, because they did the same thing down in Hagerstown today. Them drivers was taking these little kids that was walking around, putting them up in their trucks and letting them blow the horn and let them sit in the truck and see, look at everything from the driver's seat of that truck or whatever, letting them sit there and blow the horn. That right there made them kids feel like something.
Yeah.
It got them involved. It let them know even more of you know, it got them involved in the whole deal. And as a young kid like that, you know, a kid that's something that you'll never take with them. Kids will remember that for the rest of their life. You know, sitting there in that truck, being able to reach up and blow that air horn, you know, and to sit in that big truck, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no. Yep, you're right. You're right. So that's what we're going to keep doing is rocking and rolling along here. We're going to step away, take a little break, and I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. Those guys over there have been great supporters, Redneck and I, for years and years now. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com. They're all over Facebook as well. You can check them out, and when you talk to them, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. So we're going to just step away, take a little break, and we got Greg coming back, and then we got Robbie going to join us too. So just stick around here, and this is Redneck and I's Radio.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Coffee, 500 cigarettes, 1,000 miles of highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'll keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. There ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud of dust and smoke. What do you expect if some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, truckers' hearts get broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line.
Hey, what's going on, Truckers Aid? This is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're back here now. I'm going to push it on through. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. You just hit one. And we'd like to hear one of our shout-out to our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. Make sure you go check them out at your app store or Play Store, wherever you get your apps downloaded at Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. We appreciate all their support. So we're just continuing to talk about the convoy, and we went down there to eastern Ohio to Lower City, Ohio, where the old Shenandoah truck stop used to be. And there's a couple of fuel stops there where you could get fuel and park for the night, but it's very small. But there's a big empty lot behind one of the truck stops, and that's where all the drivers accumulated from the convoy. And then a lot of support people like ourselves, we set up our little trailer there. We had cooked sloppy joes and chili cheese dogs and everything, so that was a great success. So we're just going to keep talking about that, and we're going to bring Greg, and then we got Robbie joining us too here. So hey, Robbie, what's going on, man? You jealous now that we got to go hang out up there and you didn't?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, we did nothing but think of you the whole time, because every time we saw a guy pulling an RG in, we're like, man, wonder how much he's getting paid for that load.
Enough.
Yeah, I finally leave him. I got a load tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, did you hear that, Greg? He's finally getting out of here.
Is that good? Good. I was wondering about that, man. I've been wondering. It's tough.
It is. I put a little bit of fuel in, and it was 525 in Arizona.
I'm not. Yeah, Robbie, I'm not. You know, I clown around with you. We joke, and we have a good time. But, buddy, I'm telling you, this there ain't nothing funny about what's happening now.
Yes.
You know, I feel for you, my friend. I really do. You know, you're like me. I mean, I know that if we knew everything was going to go like this, I think we'd both pull away. You know, I think a lot of people would have pulled back a little bit on what they've done. But, you know, what's done is done. All we can do is tough through it now.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
that
it
is true. Yeah, fuel prices keep going up, and then of course the rates. I mean, you know, Robbie here can attest that even the specialized freight, they're trying to nickel and dime you. You know, they don't want to pay. You know, they don't.
It's just like what I was doing. You guys know what I do. You know what my rates is like, and mine sucks too now because the fuel keeps going up, and my rates ain't went up. You know, they're still doing the stuff at the same rates they was, which is still real damn good. But, you know, it's still, now it's cutting my bottom line down because the money that I was making, bringing home, now I'm putting in the fuel tank. I went from about 1,300 to $1,300 a week. It's doubled. It's almost doubled on me. And we had a big old, you know, we had a big old falling out, you know, me and company today. Well, we had one last week, and, you know, when I was down in Del Rio, Texas, you know, in Laredo and then Del Rio, and, yeah, we had a big problem, and it escalated again today. So I don't know that I'm thinking. I just told her today, I said, I'm done. I said, I'm not doing nothing the rest of the month. That truck can sit over there on the hill for the rest of the month. So I find out what's going on, or they get their head out of their ass. I that truck can sit there. I don't care.
Right.
That's why I was at home for 4 weeks because no one wanted to pay, and I have my own rates. And
yeah, I mean, if they don't want to come up with no money, I'm not going to sit there and haul their shit for nothing, you know, just because, you know,
exactly.
They don't want to come off the money, because I know that because it's fuel and everything, I know that they're getting more money off this stuff than what they're letting go on. But they're wanting to pocket it, and they're wanting us to take the hit. And I'm not taking the hit for it. I'm not doing it. I don't care. And if they're not charging them more now, well, shame on them. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean. This is pretty much to me, this is kind of how the protest should be going. Is like, okay, COVID is bad and is bad enough, but also too is that I think it needs to be brought up the awareness that I don't want any law that says that we got to get paid a certain way. I just need people to understand that everybody's trying to get away with not paying for what they want to get done. You know, I mean, everybody, you know, all of these liberals, they're like, oh, you should pay your fair share in taxes. And it's, no, I don't like paying the government taxes. I want people to be paid what they deserve. You know, you can't tell people they got to pay more in taxes and then expect them to pay more in wages. That's not going to happen. It's going to be one or the other. You know.
Yeah, we go and pay all these taxes. They charge us these ridiculous-ass taxes so they can go and squander the money however they feel fit, and we got no say in it. Because they think, again, just like they're, that's the whole problem. They think that we work for them. No, we don't work for them. They work for us, and it's high time they start realizing that. The sooner they realize that, the better off everybody will be. There's no reason to keep raising our taxes and raising our taxes and raising our taxes so they can just keep spending and spending and spending. Our taxes keep going up, and so don't the deficit. Because how many months a year do they actually work? I should say how many weeks a year do they actually work? Every time you turn around, they're off. They're gone. They're on, you know, no. No, that's enough of it.
Yep.
The government is corrupt. Bad.
Yes.
Bad corrupt.
That's
like that mess over in Ukraine right now. There is no reason for that to be going like it is over in Ukraine like now. That right now, they're letting Putin do whatever he wants to do because they're scared. Now, well, whatever. He's going to do whatever he's going to do, regardless if we go in there or not. So you might as well go in there and blow his ass back over into Moscow in time now. Come on back. You want some more? Come get it.
What I see is, like you're saying, they are scared because, you know, I mean, like, who was I talking? I was talking to a guy actually at the airport, and he was like he was in the Marine Corps and everything, so he kind of knew about different stuff that they do with, like, war and what's going on in different parts of the world and all that. And what he said was, is he acknowledged, I mean, he wasn't a conservative guy. He wasn't a Republican. He was from Massachusetts. And he acknowledged, he said, yeah, Putin's doing what he's doing because of Biden. If Trump was in there, he wouldn't be there doing that.
No,
if Trump was still president, we wouldn't be in this world of hurt right now.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, what I see a lot of is I see a lot of these, like, even the European leaders now, they're stepping up because they see it. And they were there. They were in power when Trump came in there and said, hey, you guys are going to be in a world of hurt when you see that Putin is going to start doing whatever he wants to do because you gave him all the power. And that's what's going on. And you know, even Biden, you know, he has no clue. He has no clue at all of what Putin is going to do.
No, none whatsoever.
Yep.
Well, Putin, they're all just like North Korea. Kim Jong-un, he's sitting up there and he's watching all this. You know, President Xi over in China, he's watching all this. And if they let Putin get away with what he's doing now, the next thing you know, just like they said, Xi's going to go in there and try to take Taiwan. Okay, so they're in NATO. Okay, we'll go in there for them. If Korea starts their crap, yeah, they'll go in on Korea. But is it right to stand there and let them blow the shit out of Ukraine just because them people ain't part? They're bullshit. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it where you're in NATO or not.
Yep, that's right.
He's got an agenda. He wants to get that Soviet Union back, and he's going to do it at all costs.
Yep.
So if you don't shut him down now, all he's doing is trying to get more territory, and he's trying to get closer and closer and closer to where he can get range of us easy.
Yeah, Putin wants to be remembered like all the others, like Stalin and all those other guys and Lenin. He wants to be remembered like those. He wants to have a legacy, and that's why he's kind of going crazy right now because he needs that because I was even thinking he might even be on his deathbed. He might be sick and realize, oh crap, I better start doing it now and everything. So yeah. But
they've already, I heard the other day, I heard a couple times where they put a hit out on him over there in his own country. They're telling him people over there, you want to stop this. Somebody needs to wax his ass over there. Somebody in his own country, one of his own people over there, because he's putting them in prison now. He's locking them up because they're protesting in this war. People in his own country he's locking up because they're protesting what he's doing. So why don't some of them people get in there and put a bullet in his head? Simple as that.
Exactly.
You know, if they get rid of him, everything would calm right down.
Yep. I agree.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But then again,
too.
We only see what they want us to see. We only hear what they want us to hear. We really don't know what all is really going on. We'll never know the full truth other than what leaks out. I just hope we can tough it out down there and make something out of this. I just hope this works. I really do, because this is our last stand.
There you go. Hey, I got Jeff on the line too. We're gonna bring Jeff on. So, what do you say, Jeff? What's going on?
Well, I just filled up with fuel in Missouri today. Missouri has always been a state where you can buy fuel a lot less than you can across the country.
Yeah,
paid $4.60 a gallon my cost on fuel.
There you go.
I got a buddy of mine in California. He's paying close to, they're paying close to $6-$7 a gallon for fuel.
Yep.
My, and what he's been told, he works for Indian River, what their company's been told, that fuel will raise another $5 more than it is right now. So that'll be putting at summertime when trucking at its height, $10 a gallon.
Yep.
My question is this. How high is fuel going to get when the shippers and receivers say, no, man, I can't do it. I can't pay the surcharges to get my stuff to me. I mean, my son is a bartender. He's already got beers that they're selling for $9.50 across the counter because it costs that much more to get the beer to the bar, the end user. So how high is fuel going to get when the Werners, the big boys, say, you know, hey, our shippers aren't paying it no more. We're shutting our trucks down. We can't run and lose money. We ain't got enough government subsidies to pay for the difference, and they shut down. Well, now you got the big boys shutting down, which, you know, some of us little guys might say, well, here's an opportunity for me to run. Well, I ain't going to run for free. I ain't going to break even.
Exactly.
You know, and so I'll be shut down. So we'll get to the point. It's always been tough to get 100% trucker solidarity. Well, when 100% of the truckers say, I can't afford to run my truck and pay $15, $20 a gallon for fuel when I'm only getting subsidized half of that cost, I'm breaking even. I ain't running no more.
Exactly.
You're right.
My thing is, I think we're looking at the possibility, as long as we got this clown for president and we're spending $80 million a day buying Putin fuel and then turn around and spending $1,000 to support the other end of the war and then all the other subsidies, another $4 billion to get 4 hostages out of Iran, when that's never been a good practice to buy hostages. So we got a government right now that don't care about the American people. They care about themselves. They're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars, which they don't have.
Yep.
You know, the State of the Union never talked about none of this is what was going on. He had the audacity to say, get my bills passed in Congress and your taxes won't raise a penny. And I'm your man, middle class. When the middle class person that drives the SUV, that picks his kids up from school, daycares, and goes to work and pays $10-$15 an hour for daycare, now they're paying 3 times as much for their fuel to take care of that. They're hurting. So, like I said, where is it going to stop?
Yeah, that I don't know. I think we all can honestly say we don't know, because it's going to have to come. You're right. As soon as it gets to a certain point, ain't nobody can afford it. You know, the customers can't pay it. You know, when it costs you more to ship something than whatever that something costs to make, you know.
I told my wife today, there's these companies that are advertising these Patriot meals that have a 25-year shelf life. You know, it may not be a bad idea to stock up for about a year with those in your basement, because there's going to come a point, and I really – just seeing how things are going the last few weeks, that I went to Walmart the other day, all I could buy was ground beef. They didn't have any other, and pork. There was no steaks. There was no ribs, no brisket. The shelves were empty. The paper shelves were empty. The cleaning shelves were getting empty. I mean to tell you, I thought, whoa. We're not even pandemic right now, and things are running out. So maybe it's a good idea to stock up, because as a trucker, I think we see it before general public hears about it. And I can say I'm a little concerned.
Well, that's
right
what
now I'm the fuel surcharge is paying me.
Yeah.
But that's why I gotta keep running as long as I can before where I'm shut down.
The ATA in OIDA has always said that whatever the trucking industry goes through now, the rest of the economy, the rest of the country will go through in 3 to 6 months. So when you start seeing the trucking industry go through its woes, then be careful. Because it's kind of like the trucking industry is always about a month or two ahead of everything else. Whether times are getting good or times are getting real bad, you can always tell when the trucking industry starts hitting its woes. So I agree with that. It's like you see it now. The fuel prices are skyrocketing for diesel. You know, diesel used to be cheaper than gasoline. And now, because of the whole, nobody's trying to sell it cheap anymore. Everybody's trying to get their money. And you got all these people getting this cost plus discount and all that. But even now, I mean, that's still not very much. So when when the fuel prices start going up because the price of oil keeps going up, and then next thing you know, you're going to, just like you're talking about, trucks can't afford to move. I mean, just think about that guy that delivers gasoline. He can't even afford to deliver the gasoline because he can't afford to put the gas.
I'll tell you
the fuel.
The one and only good, if you can see any good, what's happening in Ukraine, is talking to my son today, 25 years old. He's one of these that was a Biden supporter, thought that socialism was good and all that there, talking to him today, and he said this, and I just shocked me. He said, "Dad, I'm starting to see what you're talking about."
Hell yeah.
I says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah, when we're spending $80 million a day buying fuel to support a war machine that's going after innocent people in Ukraine, and we're trying to figure out a way to help Ukrainians, but we won't stop buying fuel from Russia when the United States has more oil in the ground than Russia and Saudi combined." He said, "Dad, that don't make much sense." I said, "You're seeing what I've been telling you."
Well, Elon Musk even came out and said that we got to start drilling for oil. Elon Musk said that. The guy that makes electric cars for a living,
from
he
Tulsa.
Said we got to be. Yeah.
Yes.
He said we got to start drilling for oil.
And Dad says, "I understand." He goes, "Dad, we need to get away from fossil fuels." I says, "You're probably right. That's probably a good idea. But when you're talking about the Green New Deal that you millennials love so much, let me ask you a question. As long as I have ever known my social studies, Russia and Saudi are still part of planet Earth."
Yeah.
What difference does it make if they're drilling it or we're drilling it? I says, "Here's the other thing, son." I said, "Which is better, a Keystone pipeline that goes under the ground, that once the ground has been put back the way it was before the pipeline went in, it's all back to normal? Which is better, the pipeline or a cargo ship that's owned by Russia, filled with Russian oil, and we're spending $80 million a day to buy?"
Mm-hmm.
"Russia is not liked by any country right now except for China." I says, "What if a bomb would hit that tanker? It would take out all them barrels, dumping it in the ocean, killing marine life across the ocean. Which is smarter, pipeline, cargo ship?" He goes, "Dad, I never thought about that, but you're right again. I'd rather see a pipeline."
Yeah. Isn't that something?
You know, it's kind of like we got a vice president that, when asked about the Crimean War, gives it to us in the language that most fourth or fifth graders would explain it better. Maybe we need to get like the old Jeff Foxworthy show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And that's the way we need to talk to our government, so it's on the level of Kamala, saying which is better, a pipeline or a cargo ship, which is better. Just some observations. Like I said, I'm so sick and tired. I don't listen to news. I get my news from all my truck driver friends. I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, get you fired up. I don't even want to listen because I know what it says. I know. Same old, same old. The last year and a half has just been the same old, same old. You know, nothing. You know, I just want to know.
The millennials are starting to see what's going on because what's going on in Ukraine. That's the only thing positive I can see coming out of Ukraine right now is the millennials are thinking, oh, well, maybe those old fuckers are right.
Yeah. 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 Capitalism is the best. You know, when you have people in Ukraine willing to die because they don't want to live in a socialist, communist country, that should tell you right there.
You know what kills me? And I've been sitting here listening to it, seeing it on Facebook, and it's just, I have no right to make a decision for anybody else, but it's irritating the hell out of me. It has been. You see what's going on with the convoy, you know, people are standing, trying to stand up for everybody's rights and what's right for the country. And you got truck drivers out there are bad-mouthing, you know, us for doing this convoy. All right, which we heard that. I heard a lot of it on the radio the other day, which you guys didn't hear it because you didn't have CBs in the pickups, but it was just phenomenal and bad-mouthing. The most of them, 90% of them was in agreement. The ones that was working yet going the other way, they was in full agreement with us, man, in full support. But you had a few that all they wanted to do was argue. But what's got me now is you said on Facebook – and I've been noticing here lately, all I've been seeing is Matt's. What's going on at Matt's? What are they doing at Matt's? Are they having the truck pulls? What night's a concert? You know, go to hell. You know, with everything that's going on in this country, and you're worried about going down there and shining up your damn truck and going down there and having a truck show, and this country's in the shape it's in, but all you want to do is go down there and try to make a statement down there and make more money for them damn truck show that don't give a damn about nobody but their bottom line. They're making money, and you're supporting their ass instead of supporting your damn fellow man out here in the country.
Yep, that's a very good point. I you know what, we might have to...
And in the end,
you know, we were talking about that amongst ourselves here, but we were there in the Ohio at the Shenandoah there parking lot, and I was going around filming, and I could have done like normal YouTubers where, you know, I had the camera on me with a microphone and maybe walk up to a few truckers and start talking to them and ask them what they thought and all that. The problem with that, I didn't want to do that was I didn't want to press on any kind of details because I didn't want to get the wrong person. And either they had a bad opinion that I, you know, that we were trying to, you know, steer away from, or, you know, maybe they didn't have all the information and it didn't shine well, which, you know, hey, that's fine. I understand how they do that kind of stuff, you know, everything. But I tell you what, I would love to go down there to that truck show where all those guys are going to be sitting there on their little lawn chairs in front of their shined up pickup trucks or shined up big rigs. They're at the truck show, they're pride and polish, and I'm going to ask them, you know, so where were you 2 weeks ago when they were going to D.C.? What were you doing? Was this truck sitting in the garage? You were shining it up, getting it fixed up for the truck show? So you were sitting there on your ass doing anything. And you know they got money because they got these badass trucks. So they it's not like they couldn't afford it. It is to keep up with those shined up trucks they got. So, yeah, I totally agree. You know, and if they don't agree, why don't you agree with that? What's your beef? You know, because there's a lot of drivers that don't agree with it, and you know, like you're saying, a lot of them they say, you know what, I agree, but I don't think this is the way to go. You know, but more power to you and all that. But those others, they were just flat out, you know, why are you getting in my way? Why you know what's so bad about it? How come, you know, you're a truck driver? There's rules you got to follow. Follow the rules or don't drive at all. You know, one of those things. And And, of course, we're always talking
about it. Yeah, as soon as they make another rule, they're the first ones bitching about it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm excited about seeing what's going on at the truck show. Like you're saying, there's going to be a lot of people there showing up, and they're going to, like you're saying, when's the free concert? Where do I get my tickets? When are we going to have a truck pool? And, you know, how come I got to pay $4 for a Dr. Pepper? You know, all that, you know, it's you're going to see that.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of them saying, too, Tip can tell you, too, talking to a lot of them, you know, and asked them, you know, somebody said something about the truck show, and they said, you know what, truck show, that's all right. But right now, this is more important than any truck show. If we make it okay, if we don't know how long this is going to go. And if this goes into the truck show, guess there ain't going to be a truck show this year. Look at how many trucks we've seen, Ed. How many of them owner-operators and these big shiny trucks that we see down there the other day? I mean, they're working trucks. They're not show trucks. They're working trucks. And some of them are some nice-looking rides.
Nice-looking work trucks. You're right.
Nice-looking rides.
With truck and trailer,
but
not just trucks, truck and trailer.
Right.
Yep.
Now what I'm saying is, when they can do, they're willing to give up the show. They don't care. They're more concerned about their country than they are somebody coming out there shaking their hand and giving them kudos on how nice their truck looks. You know, and what are they going to get out of that if they win? If they get top prize, in that show, what are they going to get out of it?
Right.
Not enough to justify what they're going to lose, you know?
There you go.
So to hell with them, you know? I hope they enjoy themselves. That's just like all of them down there, and I ain't mentioning no names because they all know who the hell they are. But the ones that want to go down there and they want to have their concerts and they want to sing and they want to be somebody and they want to stand there and shake hands and sign autographs, more power to you. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be right in the same damn boat the rest of us is. Because the majority of them guys that's doing that is all driving company trucks. So they do what they're told, when they're told, where they're told, and that's the way it is. They don't have nothing to lose, per se, until the man comes up and tells them, look, we're shutting the company down or we're downsizing. So, you know, you've got it this Friday when you come in, it's going to be your last day because we're having to shut some of the trucks down. Then they're going to be bitching and belly aching.
Yep.
You know, there's no company, none. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how many trucks they got, trailers they got. I don't care. You go Warner, you go J.B. Hunt, you can Snyder, you know, Amazon. I don't give a damn what company you're talking about right now. They're all in the same damn boat. If fuel goes as high, like Jeff was saying, we all, and it's going to do it. I don't doubt that it ain't going to go $7, $8, $10 a gallon if it keeps us up. There ain't none of them companies. I don't give a damn how big they are. There ain't none of them that's going to have to be able to eat that cost. They cannot do it. They cannot do it.
Right. Yep, I agree. So we're going to... And that note, we're going to step away and we're going to take a quick break and then come right back and keep talking about it because this is the People's Convoy and we're going to keep on going. So everybody just make sure that you hope that didn't cut everything off. But if everything goes well, like you said, the People's Convoy make a lot of changes and I hope everything goes well for that. And we're just going to keep at it. So make sure you go check out LTRtransportation.com at Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTRtransportation.com. Great supporter of Redneck and I. We appreciate their support. And then go make sure you go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And we'll be right back here. This is Redneck and I's Radio. Yeah.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Call in at 516-387-1733. Be a part of the conversation. Just hit one. One of the great sponsors I'd like to remind everybody to check out, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. Download it from the App Store. Appreciate everybody's support on that. We got a YouTube channel. Don't forget to go subscribe to it and like our Facebook page. And we got Twitter and Instagram, all that kind of good stuff. And we're just going to make sure everybody reminds us we're going to be at the truck show. We're going to have a booth over there. That's 74108. It's going to be the booth number. So I'm reminding everybody that's where we'll be there. Talking about the truck show earlier, and I think what we all decided here is that if things don't change for the truck show, this might be it for Redneck and I's at Louisville. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I tell you what, it depends on what's going on once I get down there, how long I'm staying down there.
There you
here.
Go. Yep. Because
if we get met with opposition, I feel like taking my truck, putting my redneck and eyes flag on it, waving it proudly, and letting them come and say, "You need to get out of here." I say, "Okay, see you."
There you go. I like it. I like it very much. Yeah, because.
Take my picture. You'll never see me again.
That's right, because we were there for several years. We were setting up in the parking lot, and everybody had a great time doing great things. And we were just, we were kind of saying, hey, this is what the drivers want, and this is what the drivers like, and we'd like to be able to keep doing it, and we'd like to be able to have your blessing and do a little better job and make a little more effort to be, like, bigger and everything. And they said no. And in fact, they kept changing the rules. They kept saying, no, you can't be that. So, yeah.
We offered a sponsor the parking lot. They go, oh, no, we're full up. 2 weeks later, Werner is sponsoring the parking lot now. I was like, oh, I thought you were full.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's how it's going to be. So we already paid for the booth thinking that was going to get us, on the good side, and that pretty much put us even worse on the bad side. So we feel we're going to get a good surge out of that booth, but then after that, that's it. If nothing changes, I mean, I'm talking like, we've got to be,
I kind of feel like Isabel May, I'll take an arrow and I'll go out with a blaze of glory and pick my place to die.
All right. Just look at that being said, look what happened, Ed. Look what happened. I hope TA and I hope Warner now, I hope that whole damn truck show, I hope it's just a big gigantic ass flop down there this year.
Yeah.
For the simple fact, TA is denying what happened out there in Kingman, Arizona. When they went out there, when them guys stopped out there, that TA out there in Kingman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They TA told him, you're not coming in here. We're not supporting this convoy. And then they started raising hell with TA. And TA, because they seen it somewhere else, they went into another one. They talked to the manager. So they said, oh, no. TA, we didn't do that. That was an isolated incident. It don't matter if it's an isolated incident or not. It happened. If one of us would go and do something like that, make a statement, they come back, it goes back on everybody. Not one person. It goes back on everybody. Well, so now they need to be held accountable for that. You either, you're with us or what. They're all about helping the drivers. Oh, we're all about supporting the truck drivers. Yeah. They're all about supporting you. It's like that old saying, we got it. Everybody wants to do an outlaw shit until outlaw shit's got to be done, and then there ain't nobody around. Right. So they can go F themselves. That's what I say. The hell with TA. TA Petro can go to hell.
Well, to that point, I'll say this is what happens, okay? Let's just say that that was an isolated deal where that was a franchise owner. Like the owner of the truck stop didn't want the deal, but it was a TA truck stop that was like a franchise. Like the TA actually doesn't own it.
No.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, everybody remembers, if you remember, down here where I live in Waco, Texas, Twin Peaks, they had a gunfight where a biker gangs shot the place up. At a Twin Peaks, the owner of that Twin Peaks was a franchise. He owned two locations. Well, they took that franchise from that owner, and they shut both businesses down. So there are two Twin Peaks that were doing very well as far as revenue goes. They shut them down and took away that guy's franchise, and those businesses closed up. So people lost jobs because the corporate Twin Peaks said, we ain't putting up with that. So that right there, like you're saying.
I asked a manager at TA the other day. I said, hey, I'm kind of looking around here. You guys are kind of like going retro on us truckers. I said, it used to be, the showers were shitty and the parking lots were full of potholes and breaking up all over. And I said, then it went for a while. I got new showers and new towels and new parking lots paved over. Now they're all broke up, going crappy again. Inside the stores look crappy. The showers are crappy. I said, hey, since you're going retro, when are you bringing the hookers back?
Yeah. Oh, man.
We're going to have some hot lizards here pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, though. During the 90s and 2000s there, they spent a lot of money upgrading a lot of the facilities and a lot of the truck stops. And, of course, when they built new ones, they were really nice. And now they're just kind of letting them go. Just kind of letting them go back to where they were.
Back to hands. So we need to hire some lot lizards back on them, and we'd have it just like we did 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, the guy out there at that Mr. Fuel the other day out there in Forestdale, Missouri, told me that in 2 years – that our pilot is not going to be owned by, pilot's not going to have them anymore in 2 more years. It's all done.
Well, remember they raided them. The FBI is still investigating all that stuff where they were skimming.
What's his name? That big, I can't think of his name now, save my soul, but I guess he bought.
Jimmy Haslin?
No. Jimmy Haslin. Another guy, I forget what it was. He's big money. I forget what. I can't even think of his name now, Ed. But they said that he bought them, and now they're gonna be changing hands, and it's just like it's like everything else. Change a name to protect the innocent. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. One closes down, and the same people set up shop under a different name.
Exactly.
You can't put a dress on a pig and call it beautiful.
No, but you can call it tasty.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh. Oh, I'm not touching that one, yeah.
I tell you what, I got some pork chops in the fridge I need to cook up. I got some pork chops I need to put in the oven. Speaking of
pork over the weekend. I had bacon 3 days in a row.
Damn, Robbie, we needed you with us. We needed you with us Saturday morning. We went and had breakfast at the usual spot that we went to before, and we about had to drag Greg out of there. He was about ready to kick an old lady's ass.
the one place that he raised a big old fit and walked out of?
No, that was Bob Evans. We didn't dare. We didn't dare go to that place. Yeah, we didn't
EJ's
dare go to that place. No, the EJ's. Remember the place we went to?
Facebook posting, and Greg was smiling then.
Because
well, that
now
said,
that was because of Long Island Iced Teas. That was the Long Island Iced Teas.
Oh, no, I don't know what that was.
After Long Island Iced Teas in it.
Those iced teas were flowing pretty good.
Yeah, they were.
Especially after three of them, Robbie. I wasn't even counting the oil spots.
Tip drank three. I drank three. And Ed drank two. Ed drove home, Robbie.
Yeah, I had to. Well, Greg actually was sitting in the front seat, but, I mean, like, he was like, don't miss the turn. Don't miss the turn.
Oh, alcoholics.
Yeah, but we went to EJ's Saturday morning. Yeah, go ahead.
What did you think of my beautiful Averitt trailer I had on this week?
Yeah, what was you doing, hauling some extra freight for him, or was that just a new trailer you were moving?
I just dropping off a new trailer to him.
Yeah, because they have
that's
a lot
bad,
back.
Probably the freight you didn't haul because you took off and come up here.
Yeah, they tried to make me feel guilty about that. They said, oh, man, you're going to take some time off. We're going to be shorthanded. I said, well, you know, you told me I could take time off, so I ain't going to be here.
They're really going to be pissed when you get two more weeks and you take another week off.
My supervisor here, he already knows because I put it in the system. They got a computer now, so you go on the website and you ask for your time off on the website. And then when you go in there, you pull it up and it'll show you the days that you've been approved or denied or whatever. So it's all in the system. They see it. So, yeah.
You know what? Are you approved? Just think, with all this going on now, just think how much fuel I'm saving you by me not working.
No kidding. Oh, my goodness.
So are you marked approved or are they marked denied?
No, it's marked approved. Yeah, it's approved. Yeah, I did that. I mean, that's in the system. Of course, now they say things are picking up as far as freight goes, but just like you're saying, if the fuel goes up, then there might be stuff sitting at the dock. If they can't fill it, you know, it's one of these things where I remember this going a couple of years back when they were leaving the freight on the dock because they didn't have enough to fill the trailer. So they weren't sending the freight unless they had enough to fill a trailer. So that's what will happen.
Well, that Averitt yard I was in, there was no freight. You can look right through the doors. The floor was clean. Trailers sitting around. Tractors sitting around. It looked like a ghost town in there.
Well, what day was that? What day was that?
Oh, I don't know. Tuesday? Wednesday, maybe?
Yeah, as far as like when I say sitting on the dock, I don't mean it's actually sitting on the dock. I just mean that it ain't moving. They're not releasing it. It might be in the trailer.
Yeah, it's,
they tend to keep the dock.
Jackson,
you know.
Tennessee. Tennessee, so it must be a dead stop. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a place where you see a lot of, like, you go to Dallas or you go to Memphis. It's, you know, there's a lot of moving going around because it's a transfer.
I bet.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like here, we've got tons of freight sitting on the dock just because we just can't deliver it all. We've got so much going out, but we don't have enough coming in. So, like, when I pull freight out, it's like two or three pallets. That's it. So they may say, hey, don't put it all on one trailer. Don't put it on different trailers. And if it ain't full, don't send it. That's probably what they'll say if the fuel prices get any higher, is you'll see these LTL companies actually hold the freight. They'll pick it up, but they'll hold it until they can fill the trailer.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you know. And then they'll raise the price on the shipper. So what do you now you got a shipper, not only is he getting his freight delayed, but he's getting the price increased. Man, that's not a good combination at all. So yeah, we're definitely going to deal with some crazy times here in the near future. This summer going to get crazy.
It's going to get crazy.
Yep.
I tell you what, I've been thinking. I've been really seriously thinking about going to say, trying to get our own authority.
Yeah.
I'm tired
of
the companies. I'm tired of all the bullshit. Go get my. Hey, Robbie. Hey, would you be interested in signing on my company?
How much you paying?
I can take your money just as easy as Admiral can.
I'll be your dispatch, Robbie.
Yeah, Rob, Tip will be your dispatcher.
I'm scared on that one.
I don't know if I'd be scared or not, because she's like I am. She ain't going to haul cheap shit.
Well, you know, and that's
tell them like, kicking your ass. You either pay the debt, you either pay that rate, or you leave it set there, drive it.
You know, a lot of times
I might not ever go home.
Yeah.
She'll make me keep driving.
Now, I'll let you go home. You get 1 week every 6 months.
Oh, she's going to let you go home because there ain't no damn way she's going to dispatch you through here, so you have to stay here for the weekend. I can't afford to.
Oh,
that's funny. There you go.
I don't know. Way it's looking right now, I might not be able to go home for months on end.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
If you're ever through this way, Robbie, you know where there's a bed.
Well, we were just thinking about that.
As long as you can keep two sober enough so she can make it for you so you don't have to make your own bed, ask Ed about that one.
Yeah.
Just keep her away from that Mexican joint down the road.
Dude.
We can get
got,
that
out
of
got, back in,
there, too.
She got back in there, and we're like, we were outside a little bit chatting. We came back in and said, where's Tiff at? And she's up there in bed. And she's like, y'all go to hell. Y'all freaking got me torn drunk. It's all your fault.
That will be the last time y'all see me drunk. That's all I got to say.
No, but seriously, Robbie,
damn,
we missed
out on a good time.
We were worried that you might not be able to make it to Louisville because you've been sitting all this time. You might have to be keeping moving these next couple of weeks.
No, I'm still going to make it. My name's Rob, but my name's not the other Rob.
You don't know who's listening. Watch yourself.
Watch yourself. Don't hurt yourself.
I don't care.
Robbie, are you going to come by here before? Or are you going to meet us there?
I'm shooting to go up to your guys' place.
Good, because you know what?
Good, you might be hauling Tiff's truck down there.
Oh, shit.
Why?
Guys, we're thinking about...
I have a room on my trailer. We can't get it on my trailer.
Why?
We had no dock.
You got your flatbed again.
Nope.
You know what, Robbie? I know how to work a detach. You better work one of them out.
Yeah.
Get something that.
I thought maybe you was pulling your flat again for a little bit.
No, we're gonna
take my pickup, in the trailer, my pickup in the group trailer. Now I'm taking my truck and trailer. You're taking yours. Tiff was thinking about taking her Toyota. She said Robbie gets you here. We'll just load my pickup on his trailer and he can haul it down there. Ain't no sense in driving it. We don't have to drive it but one way then.
Yeah.
And then we'll have her pick up to run around down there so we ain't got to keep unhooking the damn Dodge. We ain't got to unhook it. Just leave it hooked up and it's easier to get around.
Yeah.
And Ed don't have to rent a vehicle down there, you know, to go back and forth to the motel.
Yeah. And that way, when you've got one extra person riding instead of having to drive, you can actually do more filming.
So I guess I'm going to do all the driving while you do all the filming, right?
Either way, it don't matter to me.
Well, we'll do it this way. I'll unhook from my neck. Greg can load it and secure it, and I'll hook back up to my neck. That way Greg can get a little dirty.
I ain't got no gloves no more.
I'll give you a fucking pair of gloves.
No, Robbie, you should have seen
me. I don't know how to do it. That ain't my job description anymore. I can't live change no more.
Yeah, it's transportation.
Don't let him lie to you, Robbie. Don't let him lie to you. When we were down there putting all those flags on the truck, when we were putting all those flags on the trucks and everything, he was using them bungees and zip ties and all that, and he's like, flatbed 101.
I still got it, baby.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Oh, dude, man.
Weeks,
you know what?
I'll put that Toyota on my trailer.
No, listen. Hey, Taylor is not here to defend himself, but I'll tell you what. That was funny as hell when Greg said, "Hey, you're going to tear that cord off."
Kevin said, "Nah, I did it like this the other day. He said it worked out good. By that time, Tom there went that wire harness right off that trailer." I said, "I told you so." Taylor looked out at me and said, "Fuck you." I told him my new damn harness. It ain't on there. I know. I told him he was going to do that. He wouldn't listen. That's all right. Taylor's the man. Oh well.
So see. But yeah. Did he go all the way to D.C. then, Taylor?
Yeah.
He's in Maryland now.
Actually, we cannot confirm nor deny any kind of reports because he's not supposed to be.
He's on video.
Oh, yeah. It was already on there. Somebody was down there videoing it. Chris Young was down there videoing it. And she videoed the whole side of that truck, the trailer, the truck, everything. Hennef on the side, bigger than shit, man. So if Hennef looks at that or sees that, he's busted. He don't give a damn.
I saw they had entertainment on stage. So did he go on stage then to entertain too down there?
No.
They're not doing stuff like that.
Yeah, Jeff, I got on stage, though.
One news.
I got on the stage.
The news.
So, you know, that was fun.
The news source showed two women singing at one rally.
Yeah, that was in Indianapolis, I think.
That might have been that one night. They ain't done it too much. The only thing they do is do their speeches and everything and tell what's going on, what's happening the next day, and that's it.
Robbie, got a question for you.
Well, Hagerstown looks like a party.
Sounds like I'm in trouble.
No, you're not in trouble. Trucker Tolls wants to know if we have somebody who would like to go and do a talk at, let me get it exactly right here, on Saturday over at the truck show to talk business tips for owner-operators, how to find and make connections on the road. Would you be interested in doing that talk? It's a 30-minute talk at 12:30 on Saturday.
Want to know how you make your connections with your brokers and everything like that, Robbie? And they don't want me doing it because they know where that shit's going to end. They know there ain't nothing good going to come out of it if I go in there and do it.
I don't know. How long do I have to make my decision?
5 minutes. That's about what we got left of the show.
Oh.
Hey, guys, I'll talk to you later. My wife's calling.
All right, now.
All right.
See you.
All right,
bye.
Jeff.
It's up to you, you know.
Think about it, Robbie. Think about it, bro. You got a week.
No, I need to let her know within the next day or so.
All right. Jeff said you got a day. A week shrunk to a day.
Ed's doing the one on loads with how to book loads with technology stuff, so. We don't have to do both of them, but I thought maybe, you know, one of you guys would want to do the other one.
I'm going to do one of the do's and don'ts and preventing yourself from going to jail.
By staying at the truck.
That's probably a better idea.
No big deal.
I want to say more than no. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't like talking in front of people.
Okay.
You ain't got no problem MFing me, you little ass.
Well, I know you enough. No, it's just talking in front of a big crowd. I don't.
Well, I don't know exactly what they hadn't planned. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because most owner-operators anymore don't do their own stock.
No.
You know, yeah, you might look like Robbie looking on a load board trying to find loads that way. But still, it's already mapped out for you.
See, when you're leased to a company like that, you ain't got a lot. I mean, you can tell them, look, I ain't hauling it for that. You're going to have to come up with some more money. And then the company, they're saying, well, you know, that's all I can get out of them. That's why I'm thinking about getting my own authority and just saying, hey, cut the middleman out altogether, go to the broker and say, look, this is the way it's going to be. You want me to take the shit? Fuel's, know, $8 a damn gallon, so you're going to come on, don't give me this $2,000 shit, because it ain't going to happen, buddy. You better come up with $5, $6 a mile, or I ain't turning the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's the way it is.
Hey, Ed, have you looked at the footage on your GoPro yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, I was just wondering if it had the oh shit moment when it fell off the back of my truck.
He chose bouncing around on the tonneau cover before it hit the damn inside of the bed.
Yeah, I need to get that out and plug that in.
Yeah,
but
I don't know how to do mine, so you got to do it.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I hope everything comes out good on this. I really do, because it's just, I wish Robbie could have been here. I really do. He would have really thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah.
This was one of them.
This little month that I had off, I had one gentleman. I was up in my truck, playing with my truck, and I had this guy stop by with his son. He was had been 3 years old, and the kid wanted a truck. The dad dug around for a flatbed and a truck just like mine, same color and everything. And the little kid has it. And every time they go by my mom and dad's house when my truck's sitting there, he's like, oh, the truck, he's back, and he gets all excited. And the dad asked me, first he came over, he goes, my son's 3 years old, he loves your truck. You know, I finally found a little toy for him. He wants to look at your truck. Is that okay? I'm like, bring him on over.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, like you were saying, Greg, it's just, it lightens up their day. You know,
I'm
telling you, man, you can't help but get tears in your eyes, Robbie. I don't care how, you got to be a cold-hearted person to turn away from a kid like that. I'm sorry.
As a matter of fact, today I was loading up everything, and not across the street, but kitty corner across the street from me, the people that live there passed away, and it's their daughter and son-in-law there. And the son-in-law, I've been talking to him quite a bit, and he had his two kids, and they wanted to see the truck this morning. And I couldn't turn that away.
That's awesome.
I'm not a cruel person to tell a kid no. You know, even if they wanted the air horn blown or look inside the truck.
Yep.
I always tell them, pardon the mess. And they were even asking me questions on it. Why do I have that in there and this? And, you know, what do I haul and everything else? So I just...
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know, man. Like I said, you know, there wasn't no better feeling. You ride down the road, I mean, like I said, the kids, you know, the kids and everything, and then, you know, just like I said, with the State Highway Patrol and stuff, man, I mean, you get down the road, you see them in the middle, and they're sitting there, and they're armed, the cops waving at you, giving you the thumbs up, and arm pumping you to blow the horn, you know. It's like, really? I mean, you never, ever in life ever got that kind of, you know, from law enforcement, you know, because it's always been, you know, they've always been, you know, law enforcement and the truck drivers has always been, you know,
oh,
totally
now, back and forth,
you know. It's always been So when you see stuff like that, it's like, really, you know? I mean, you can't make that up.
Hmm.
You know, it was just, Ed knows, he was there.
Yep.
He's seen all that, and it was just phenomenal.
And I was just seeing all the videos that you guys put up on Facebook, and I imagine you guys took a lot of pictures, too, and talked to a lot of people, and I was like, man, this sucks. You guys are all the way over there, and I'm over here trying to get out of here. that I'm not paying someone else to haul their freight.
Right.
That's what I was trying
right.
to
no,
do.
No, I don't blame you.
You know, it's...
I don't blame you. Like
nope.
I said, though, you know, just like down here every day, them little kids walking over, I was sitting there in the truck, let the dogs out, and I was sitting there in the truck for a few minutes with them and trying to get warm a little bit, to tell you the truth about it. And our lights, parking lights was on, you know, sitting there in the parking lot, it was idling, and them little kids, I seen the parents and them come walking down in front of the trucks, and, you know, I kept hearing air horns blowing all over the parking lot, you know, and I thought, that's the drivers carrying on, and you know, and then they started with the Jake brakes, which I knew that was the drivers doing that. But, yeah, I got into that a little bit there for a few minutes. But when they come down there and they walk,
surprise me.
And they was walking down by the front of the truck, and them two little kids, you know, they stopped, and the parents were standing right there off to the left front fender of the truck, you know, like out in the drive. And them little kids walked up, you know, and they – you know, I was just getting ready to get out of the truck. I just opened the door up, and I seen him stand there, and they walked up, and he says, Mister, and I said, yeah. He says, are you in the convoy? And I said, well, yeah. And he says, we just wanted to thank you. And they gave me this little bag, and it had a cookie and a Rice Krispie treat in this little paper bag, little lunch bag. It said, thank you, trucker, on it. And they, each one of them, a little girl, a little boy, both of them, they handed me that. And one of them was 7 and one of them was 5.
Mm.
And I started, you know, and I got that. And right away, man, I got tears started running down my cheek. And I'm thinking, you know, and they said, we just want to thank you for what you're doing for us. And their parents were standing right out there in front of the truck. And I stepped down on the ground and I took them bags and I kind of kneeled down on one knee, you know, on their level, down, you know, eye to eye with them. And I said, thank you. I said, you guys are more than welcome. And the parents were standing there, and they're just sitting there shaking their head, you know. And that little girl, she says, can I ask you a favor? And I said, yes. I said, yes, honey, you can ask me anything you want. And she said, would it be all right to give you a hug?
Hmm.
And I just, man, I just wanted to start busting out bawling, you know, and I kind of, you know, you don't just want to, you know, say, yeah, okay, you know, and grab somebody's kid and give them a hug. You know, you don't know how people act to that anymore, you know. And when she asked me that, and her little brother stand there with her, I kind of looked up. I looked up at her parents, and I just kind of, you know, shrugged my shoulders like, well. And her parents, they just sat there and shook their head, and he said, you sure can. You know, I didn't even ask them. They said, you sure can. And I said, hey, I just don't want to do nothing and let you know. I said, it's a crazy world we live in now. And
yes.
They said, we understand. And they come over, and that little girl grabbed me around the neck and gave me a hug. And her little brother, he was right in there with her. And I could kind of put my arm around him, hugged him. And I said, you guys are more than welcome. And they walked off. I got back. I had to get back in the truck for a minute because I had to get my composure back. I couldn't. I lost it. I said, man, I can't take this. I couldn't take it.
Man.
I mean, and that was going on everywhere, you know, and then they started walking away, you know, and then I heard, you know, I seen other people up there, and I says, and they're standing there looking at the truck, pointing at the truck, and that's when I told them, I said, come here a second. You know, I said, can you come back here for a minute? I said, Mom and Dad, can they come here for a second? You walk over here with them, and they come walking back over, and they said, yes, sir. I says, I says, would it be okay if I set them up there in the seat and let them pull the horn for y'all, let them blow the horn? And they looked at me like, really? You know, the parents. And I said, yeah, if it's okay with you. And I told them, I said, now there's five little dogs in the truck. I said, they won't bother you. I said, they won't bite. And they said, really? Well, they got up in there. Well, a couple of them, you know, they ran over. They were sitting there. They petted them a little bit. Of course, Claire, she's all over them, you know, her and Harley. But they was standing there, and I put them up. They sat there in the seat. I heard the seat up far as it was, and I let them stand up because they couldn't sit in the seat, that low air ride, that low base seat. They couldn't reach a horn. So I had them. I put the steering wheel clear up, and they was standing up. Man, that little boy, he just swinging on that air horn, buddy. He wouldn't let off on it. And then she started, and I let her do it, and they was sitting there, both of them sitting there in the seat together. Man, they got out of there. They would just smile from ear to ear, and they went running over to their mom and dad, you know, and they had to – they were standing right out there by the truck looking, watching them, you know, and they had to run over there and tell them all about it, you know. And the dad, he walked over and he said, thank you very much. He said, you just made them kids' day. I said, I hope I did.
That's it.
I said, well, he said, well, good luck. He said, thank you again.
It don't matter. I think it makes any kid's day. If, you know, even going down the road, if I see a kid doing an arm pump, I'll toot the horn. And all you see is a smile from ear to ear if you can see in the car, if they have the window down. And they got smiles, and it just makes their day.
Yes. Because, you know, one day them kids, what you do to them or do for them today is going to reflect on them when they get older. And if you're an idiot to them and you don't acknowledge them now, then they're going to remember that when they get older, and that's where you get these idiots at that want to go out there and cut you off and flip you off and everything else. They have no idea. And that little bit right there, them kids, that will stay with them for a lifetime. They'll remember that the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many little kids is out there that's never had the opportunity to see the inside of one of them things or never will?
I'm telling you.
So, you know.
Well, on that note,
I don't know.
Yeah, how can you not love truck right there?
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, you can, like I said before, you know, you can keep your mouth shut and make people think you're a fool, or you can open your mouth and relieve all their doubt, you know, and it's the same way for everything. I mean, you can be an idiot, you know, or you can be what you are, and there's no point. By being hateful, you know, and having a chip on your shoulder all the time, it's not getting you anywhere. Not with them like that. I mean, the public, they irritate me. They make me mad. The cars the way they do, but you know, over time, I mean, they still do it. I still get irritated with them. They still make me mad doing it, you know, because sometimes they think that they're doing it, you know, they're doing it out of spite and they're doing it on purpose. But you know, a lot of times, I don't think that they do it on purpose. I think that a lot of it, I think, is just the fact that they just don't know. They really don't know what they're doing, what they did.
Yep.
Because they've never, you know, if they don't have any family members in drunk in there, they've never had to deal with it. They don't know that what they just did could get them killed.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that's just what we're there for, to try to, you know, Try to let people know how to act around trucks, how to work around trucks. You know, that people don't know. A lot of people just don't know.
There you go.
And then some know and just don't care. So you know, it's what it is.
Yep, it is what it is.
All right.
Cool deal.
Well, I know you're at the end of the show, Ed. In fact, we're a little bit over, so.
That's all fine and dandy. We talked about some good stuff today, the protest, the convoy, and how great a great experience it was for us. And it was awesome. And we'll definitely get some video. We got some video shot of some other footage of us traveling with the convoy and everything. So we're going to make sure we get that out there so everybody can see it. And it's pretty cool, pretty damn cool. So, yeah. But, anything else? No, that's it?
No, that's about it. Robbie, now that you're back out, you know, give me a call. I'm like I said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done the rest of the month. I mean, they irritated me, and they just kind of pissed me off today. So I pretty much, you know, figured the hell with them. I'm going to take the rest of the month off. Fuel prices the way they are and everything carrying on the way it is, I don't even care anymore. And that's what I told him this morning. I really don't care. So give me a call. I'm here at home. If I see where you call, I'll answer. If not, I'll call you back, whatever. But I'm glad to see you finally got a load and get out of there.
I got something to tell you, but I'll call you off the radio show.
Okay,
right.
Good deal.
Okay. All right. Give me a call, Ed. I will talk to you at some point probably here within the week.
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, Ed.
Right now.
All right.
Bye. Later. Good deal. Yeah. This is Redneck and I's Radio. We talk about all things trucking and then some. Laugh on the road, and of course we've been talking about what's going on in the news, and that's the People's Convoy started out in California. I mean, and actually it started everywhere. It started in Florida, started in New England, started up north in Chicago, those areas, and they just kind of converged down into Maryland, Hagerstown, actually. And then today, on Sunday, they started toward D.C., and they've been circling the Beltway there. So if you follow that on there, you can go to thepeoplesconvoy.org is where you can get all the updates of that, and they have a Facebook page as well. But you can also donate, and you go to thepeoplesconvoy.org, and you can donate and help support that or find out information to keep tabs on what's going on there. Like I said, don't rely on the national news of what they might be telling you, okay? All the updates they put on their website, and they've got people running that 24/7, so keep in contact. It's very well-funded, very well-organized going on there. They've got the right people in place, the right kind of support. So I'm excited about seeing what happens on that and seeing what they can do. But this here, we've been very fortunate to be able to be part of it there for a little time, for what little it was in Ohio. And we served Sloppy Joes and chili cheese dogs and had sodas and chips and took donations and gave away donations and all that stuff. So it was a great experience. So until then, like I said, next time you see Redneck and I's in person, I'm going to be at the truck show in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's going to be, right, I got it right in front of me because it is March. It's only a few weeks away. So it's March 24th, 25th, and 26th. They're in Louisville, Kentucky at the Kentucky Expo Center. It's the Mid-America Trucking Show. We're not going to be in the parking lot like normal. If anybody else, if you think that I know we're Redneck and I's, no. We're going to have a booth, but we're not going to be in the parking lot because they don't want us in the parking lot. And if you got any issues with that, all I can do is direct you to truckingshow.com and express any kind of opinion you have on that. We have no say. We've asked for permission. They said no. We asked again. They keep saying no. We said, what if we did this? No. What if we paid the sponsor? Nope. They don't want us. So we're not going to do anything in the parking lot. We will have our booth at the truck show. It's going to be over there by the West Wing Pavilion. Area there by the food court, and we're excited about doing that. And this might be the last show in Louisville that we ever do, because it's just not worth it anymore to have to deal with all of the just hijinks that they want the hoops they want us to jump through. It's just not worth it. We'd rather either go to the smaller truck shows or make our own truck show, do something like that. So until then, that's where we'll be. And like I said, you can keep contact with us at redneckandeyes.com. Or you can go check us out. We've got Facebook, we've got YouTube. Please subscribe. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. We got great stuff coming out and everything. We try to keep in contact with everybody and just keep things going, trying to help create a better atmosphere, that camaraderie, that brotherhood of trucking that we've always known. So let's bring that back. And we saw it. We saw it there in the convoy. We saw it. It's alive and well. So let's keep it going and do all those great things. And then we also got Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. So yeah, keep in contact with all that. And we'd like to thank for our great sponsors. That's LTR Transportation, LTRTransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation, or Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download it on the app stores. Or also make sure you recognize we got a great sponsor, and that's DPF Regeneration at DPFRegeneration.com. Been supporting us for quite a long time now, and we really appreciate all that. So check those guys out. You can find links to all of their information on our website, redneckandeyes.com again. And this is our radio show here live Sundays at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Appreciate everybody calling in, listening in, and watching on YouTube and everything like that. And if you comment on there, we try to keep up with everybody commenting, but it's just hard because of the way the internet works and everything. So, And so that's what we got going on there. So yeah, just, like I said, keep in contact, redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody's support on that. Until next time, like I said, Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern time, call in at 516-387-1733. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. So, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.